107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad y'all are aboard. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also check us out on Twitter at FM Talk 106.5. You can go there and see some of the retweets this morning for the conversation going on between Donald Trump Jr., Sr., and former Alabama Supreme Court Judge Roy Moore. This is a pretty interesting combination, and we're lucky to have my buddy Jeff Poor to join us to talk about this. More, of course, with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and the host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN every weekday afternoon from 2 to 5. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Good to have you here, too. So this starts with what? It starts with a Roy Moore tweet, right? And then a response from Donald Trump Jr.?
That's exactly right. It really started with a political story, I believe, that discussed Bradley Burns' comment saying that Roy Moore was going to get in. Roy Moore's tweet was responding to that, saying that Bradley Burns was just afraid of that. That Donald Trump jumps in the fray. Donald Trump Jr. jumps in the fray. And then, obviously, about an hour ago, we have the Donald Trump tweets.
Now, this goes back, if people have forgotten, the Senate special election and forgot about the Washington preference for a candidate, and that as a candidate, I think Luther Strange was so damaged that the dollars couldn't help him. I remember you and I talking so many times about the spending dichotomy between what was being spent for Strange and what was being spent for Moore. Wasn't it like 26 to 1 or something like that?
Yeah, it was up in the high 20s, Luther Strange versus what Roy Moore had. All that money, it didn't do Luther Strange, I think, as much good as it might have done any other candidate.
But they had the money coming from Mitch McConnell's group, and then the president coming in to stump for Luther Strange.
Right, did a rally. Vice President did a rally in Birmingham, then President Trump did a rally up in Huntsville.
And they were so there was a preference there. Now the president's saying he likes Roy Moore or whatever, but the preference was shown back then who Washington and who the president wanted in that position. So then we know what happened. Then Luther Strange, nothing, even a presidential endorsement, vice president, money coming in from national sources could not. I mean, Luther Strange was essentially a kind of Hillary Clinton like candidate that you couldn't put enough money into to save. So then Roy Moore goes and loses in the general. And I guess that's what they're talking about in the tweets this morning. You better not try because we can't go through this again.
Right. And I think it's trying to scare him off. I don't know what this does to Roy Moore's chances. I can't imagine that it's helpful at all. But sometimes we tend to overplay the importance of Donald Trump, because once before, Donald Trump had picked another candidate, and Alabama voters picked Roy Moore.
Yeah, that's. I wonder which, for folks that are adherents to both, although I'm looking at the text line, and there's a lot of people that are big fans of the president saying, Roy Moore, you know, leave, get out of politics here. But, I mean, if somebody is an adherent of both as a kind of, you know, middle finger to Washington kind of idea, one at a state level, one at a federal level, which one do you choose? I mean, if the president tells you this is not the person, this is going to be another loss, will people even, I wonder if people that even like Roy Moore will look at this pragmatically and say, you know, I don't know how he's going to win this again. We can't risk it. I like him, but this may not be his time.
Now, I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be very persuasive with Roy Moore. It sounds to me like they've already made their mind up. And this could change that, of course. Not just Donald Trump Jr., but Donald Trump himself. So the Roy Moore camp, not known for the best for their decision making, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but this is, does this make any, and I wonder who this benefits. I mean, if you want to say, okay, keeping Roy Moore out of the mix, I think to some degree benefits all names that are already in or names to come in the Senate election, because he has come in the past with, what, 28 to 30% support in a primary, and his name recognition is by not just anecdotal knowledge, but by actual surveys and polls done, higher than any of the other people that want to be the senator.
Well, here's the deal, though. There's another name ID candidate in the race. Mm-hmm. I would argue that's Tommy Tuberville. I think that eats into Roy Moore's natural ceiling that he would have. I think it puts him in a much more difficult place to get to that, what he would already have, that artificially built-in audience, just because, oh, I know who Roy Moore is. Let me check this box.
Do you think, Jeff, that will that the president and Trump Jr. will continue to kind of beat this drum, or do you think they're just putting this out there right now and then just letting it lie and seeing what happens in the Senate race in the months to come? Or do you think if Roy Moore comes out and announces that he's entering the Senate race, that we'll hear more from the president?
You know, here's a weird thing. We've had Roy Moore run twice before, and he didn't get above, what, 10%, 12%. Remember when he ran for governor?
Mm-hmm.
He ran against Bob Riley, and he ran against in that 2010 election with Tim James and Bradley Byrne and the ultimate governor, Robert Bentley. I don't think he's a factor, to be honest with you. And I don't. If he's not a factor, why would Donald Trump and these guys be in the middle of it? Now, mm-hmm. there may be a poll release or two. I really think that the Moore camp is working on a poll right now, and they're going to leak it around to the media just to show that they're a contender. But, well, that was before these tweets, but I think that's forthcoming anyway. But I don't know that it's there anymore. If it looks like that he's going to run, but he's not going to poll very well, and I suspect that to be the case, then I think the Trump camp, Team Trump, kind of just lets Roy Moore do its thing, and then they go about their business.
Yeah, I wonder if you're in the Doug Jones camp, are you sitting back and just praying that Roy Moore gets into this mix? Is anything that happens in the primary better or worse for Doug Jones?
A few things. I do think that there's two components that would be good for Doug Jones. First being, of course, Roy Moore getting into the race. Then you have a national media coming to Alabama, making it seem like he is a contender, and it just doesn't look good. Even if Roy Moore is pulling at 5%, the national media will treat him as if he could still win the nomination. On the other hand, you're going to have the real race, which is a circular firing squad, and then that's going to also work in Doug Jones' favor. Now, Doug Jones, don't get me wrong, he might have a few smaller fires to put out on his own side with the Democratic and the state Democratic Party, and John Rogers was really serious about running against him. But I do think the Republicans got to really figure out how to limit the damage from their fight.
All right, do you think that if Roy Moore is in, where does that Mitch McConnell money go? Like it went to, when it went to Luther Strange, I mean, that money, number one, I guess I should ask, would it be in play the same way, and who would get that? Who would be the recipient?
Bradley Byrne is the guy. He's got the NRSC involved. That was who was really pushing Luther in 2017. That is the guy, as you and I would say, that is the boy right mm-hmm. now, is Bradley Byrne. Something interesting, though, I was kind of, the Tuberville guys aren't quiet. They are kind of allied with Bradley Byrne on this Roy Moore stuff, because I think the biggest part of it is Tuberville has more to lose with Roy Moore being in the race than Bradley Byrne does. Bradley Byrne's already got that lane. The lane that the Tuberville and Roy Moore will be fighting over is that name ID lane. But I think here's what's going to start happening with that. Once you have a Bradley Byrne versus Tommy Tuberville fight, we're going to be all reminded about what happened on Billy Bush weekend with Bradley Byrne and him calling on Mike Pence to take the nomination and for Trump to step aside. I do think that is on its way, and it's going to be played up in a big way.
And, you mentioned, I mean, you got Spicer as part of this, so somebody who has the Washington knowledge and will put it in play here in Alabama.
Yeah, and Spicer's sort of, as my understanding, he's kind of a peripheral figure, but he'll navigate those waters with these politics of the Trump world.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. A lot to talk about in Alabama politics, whether it's for a national office or what is being done here in the last few days of regular session in Montgomery. We're covering it all on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Wednesday style segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. So you got junk stacked up at the house, maybe the office. Now you got that storage unit. You know, you said, okay, well, we'll get this stuff out of the house. You're trying to get organized, or you moved or whatever. Piled stuff in the storage unit. Now years have gone by and you've been dutifully paying your rent for your junk every month. and you don't even know what's in there anymore. You don't need it. Get rid of it and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Doing work in Mobile County, Baldwin County, commercial properties, residential properties, got to get a house ready to sell. Hey, whatever it is, if you got junk, you need it gone. You need my buddy Trey and his crew. So give him a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online and check him out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, Jeff Poore hanging out with us. Of course, Jeff from WVNN. Hear his show weekday afternoons, 2 to 5. And of course, over at Lanyap, you read the Beltway Beat. And a reminder here, he is up for a nappy for your favorite Lanyap writer. Go vote daily for Jeff Poore in the Beltway Beat. Is that good, Jeff? Am I keeping my free job?
The results will speak for themselves.
Okay. Y'all help me out. I'm trying to stay on the campaign here for Jeff Poore. And last year, he was very upset with me, and I'm just trying to crawl my way back into his good graces. Y'all go vote for him over at votenappies.com. All right, Jeff, let's talk about Montgomery, and it looks like this is going to be it for regular session this week.
Yeah, we're heading in that direction. Some of the bills are falling by the wayside. Some others are getting passed, but I wouldn't hold out any hope for anything big like medical marijuana or a lottery.
Okay. Well, yeah, lottery, and they said, what, the medical marijuana plan is this, well, we're going to study it, right? We're going to study it and get a group together to watch this.
Is that basically when you ask your mom if you can have some ice cream and they say, well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it while you're at school, and then we'll decide after that. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, well, the way that Mike Ball, who's the chief proponent, he's a state rep up here in Madison, is telling me is, well, yeah, it would have been better to go ahead and get it approved, legalized, but it's going to be years away. Even if the legislature said, okay, we're going to go forward, we're still 2 or 3 years away is what they think from actually having a dispensary where you go show your card and you get the medical marijuana. So here's the deal, though. According to Ball, this at least is headed in that direction where the time won't be as long when they finally do get around to doing it. And they'll have the commission and some of the bureaucracy required to decide how they're going to institute this thing in Alabama.
All right, let's look at schools here. I think there's a couple of stories of interest. Number one, this idea to put a change through for the State Board of Education to move it from an elected position to an appointed position. I worry that most Alabamians don't have any idea who their rep is on the State Board of Education in the first place.
I agree with that. And, if the people decide, if it goes to a referendum and they vote on it and that's the side they decide that's how they want to do it, I think that's a... To me, that seems fair, like a fair compromise. There's two different camps, obviously. I think a lot of the sort of legacy folks that are in the legislature, that whole old AEA sort of network, they don't want this at all because they could go in, pump a bunch of money into a school board race that not a lot of people are paying attention to, and all they got to do is have the most signs, and then that is winds up who gets elected. Having the governor do it, because more like the two-year college system, if you're familiar with that board, it used to be elected, and now it's appointed, and people argue that now it is the board that runs that has made the two-year college system in Alabama much, much better than it had been probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, and people will argue that, that if you have appointed positions, though, and this argument was made yesterday on the show, appointed positions, then you can have government officials or legacy folks move forward ideas and doctrines, whether it be Common Core or something else, that the people may disagree with, but they don't have the right of referendum, basically, on it.
Yeah, and I don't know how people feel about that. You still have an election. You still have a KIV appointing these people, and she has to be, or whoever the governor might be, they still have to be accountable, right? So to me, the conservative impulse is centralization of power, not a good thing. But maybe in this case, where the public doesn't seem to really put a lot of focus on some of these offices, I wonder if it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
All right, so no lotto, but looks like a pretty good bet on fantasy sports.
Yeah, that's head to the governor's desk. That is a good bet. She will sign that, I think, is what I'm being told. That was in jeopardy for a while. Yesterday, I just it looked like it was not going to get a hearing in the Senate. Next thing you know, it's up, and they're debating it, spent a few hours on it, and now... Now it looks like it's going to happen. Assuming Gabby signs it, and what I hear is that she probably will.
You know, Jeff, just comparing daily fantasy sports to the lottery, you know, kind of both on the same gambling grounds, although it's been argued, I think, to a better degree that daily fantasy is a game of skill and not not gambling, although I'd say they are just better at getting that message out than sports gambling is. But what do you think the response from citizens of the state will be that, hey, you're legalizing something that's very, very close to gambling, but we can't even get lottery on the ballot?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of upset people about that. And not just, you know, here's what's going to happen, guys. Get ready for it. I do think we're heading toward Casino Wars Part 2 coming this summer. I think Attorney General Marshall is looking, you know, waiting for the legislative session to wind down, and then he may go into Victory Land and Green Track and take those electronic bingo machines away. And that I would say a lot of that impulse is just because people are upset about the lottery and not getting to where we want to be with the lottery. I think that'll clear the deck, and then perhaps maybe in 2020, and then we're talking this time of year from now, we will be talking about a lottery. Everyone's saying, well, you know, it's really more about the split of the money. Should it go to the general fund or the education trust fund? And that's what stalled it. It didn't really stall it as much as you might have thought it would early in the session by giving so much to the general fund. So we'll see where that goes. But I do think the real fight is just kind of like this. It's Milton McGregor learning the dark art of upsetting the Alabama legislature from the grave. I think that's what happened to the lottery.
I mean, but basically what you described there is a situation where the pari-mutuel betting dog track facilities did not sign off for the clean bill, as we call it, the All Britain bill. Therefore, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that the revenge for that will come through the Attorney General's office in raids of these facilities after session is over.
Yeah, and I think they were going to come anyway, but I do think there'll be less political resistance to that. And I just think there's upset people that they didn't get this lottery, and the reason they didn't get it was because of these what are perceived to be illegal casinos and these two dog track casinos, I guess.
Well, I mean, the simple part of me says, and I've said it for 10 years here, either just tell us what the law is. I mean, it went through the Supreme Court. I thought we understood it then. It keeps changing. I think I have the opinion of a lot of regular Alabamians. Just, I'd like to know, what is legal, what's not legal? And they keep saying that running these facilities is illegal, and then you have them running because the local jurisdiction doesn't want to do anything about it. And then you have this situation which you're describing, whether it was preordained or it's happening because of the failure of the lotto bill, that maybe by this time next year or even earlier, when session starts next year, those pari-mutuel betting facilities will be crying uncle and playing ball because they took some pain in the off season.
Right, and here's what I hear is happening: that you're watch this off season, as you say, watch the Porch Creek Indians, watch what these Daltrack Casino owners and their interest, their delegation does. I think they're going to try to come together, try to find that compromise, and get the state a lottery. But maybe we see a compact between the Porch Creeks and the governor, and then maybe that will allow for these other operations to exist status quo. I think that may be the direction we're headed. I think there's going to be some pushback a little bit on that, but that might be the grand compromise that we're waiting for.
There he is, Jeff Poore. Check him out, of course, at WVNN.com. You will listen to the show. And also, if people want to reach out to you, Twitter, still the best way?
Yes, sir. Twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
And listen, I'm doing it twice here. VoteNappies.com.
Mm-hmm.
In the media section, favorite Lanyap writer, Jeff Poore and the Beltway Beat, as I'm trying to crawl my way back into his good graces. So, Jeff, please, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Well, you got to deliver this time. Or
that's it. That's it. Right?
Back to the corner for you.
Right. We're working on it. Y'all help me keep my free job. It's just, well, I used to be campaign manager. I don't know what I am now. Door-to-door lackey or something like that. Right. We'll check in with News 5 coming up next.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive. Check in with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Doing great. Not many days left in the month of May, but that means there are some great deals right now at McConnell Automotive. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, Dalton, buddy. We hear a lot. You know, we've been in the car business for over 60 years. You know, people disappointed when they go car shopping. And, you know, one answer I have to everybody is give McConnell a shot, because if you haven't had a good experience somewhere else, chances are, Dalton, they had something like an advertised price. They went to try to buy a vehicle, and the dealership didn't honor it. And, you know, at McConnell, we always shoot people straight and are transparent. And this end-of-the-month sale is a great example, buddy. If people just go to our website, they'll see prices on things like Yukons, the new 19 Sierra truck with the AT4, the X31, and we got 0% financing. And if you picture in your mind, the end of the month, people just tell you it's the best time to buy a car because we're motivated to hit goals, and that's exactly right. And our Buick's gotten 16% off, so want everybody to rush, because this end of the month really is a great time. And we've got two remaining 18 model Sierra trucks out of all the ones we had. You've been helping me sell them. I appreciate it. And we just want to invite everybody to take advantage of it, buddy, because it's running out in the next couple of days.
And you know, the website, a great resource. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, it's McConnellAutomotive.com, Dalton. Every Buick and GMC, I think we definitely have the best prices, but also the best shopping experience anywhere on the Gulf Coast. And check us out there at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great one, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 838. Let me, side note here. I want to get into a couple stories from our news partners at WKRG. But before we do, can I reference what's going over or what's been going on with Fox 10?
Please do.
Okay. Yeah, have y'all been keeping up with this? Huh? Okay, now people are paying attention. They think there's something scandalous.
Uh-huh.
This is scandalous. Because there was so much success with the stupid giraffe giving birth. April the giraffe, right?
Yep.
People don't know the name of their congressperson, but they know the name of the giraffe that did what? Did what giraffes do?
Gave birth.
Gave birth. Okay. It's life. It's an amazing thing.
Although she was in labor for like 25 years or something like that.
Like I've said before, I'm gonna run one of those IP cameras out. I'm going to take one of the cows that's about to deliver a calf on the farm. And I'm going to put her in a paddock where she can't go out in the main pasture.
Right.
And then I'm going to put an IP camera on her, and I'm going to make my millions doing that. People tuning in to see the cattle birth. But no, on Fox 10, on their website, and this is Thistle the Marmoset.
Oh, no. Thistle.
Thistle, which is a marmoset at the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo. Thistle the Marmoset, they for probably like a week now have a watch for this marmoset giving birth. Okay? They have now a graphic on the front of their website, like the second banner down. The first one is paid for, which is important, and the next most important thing coming down from the top of their website, watch live camera, Thistle the Marmoset giving birth soon.
Well, okay. I can't say I've ever seen a marmoset give birth.
It's true. You want to list the number of critters you've not seen give birth?
There's a lot of them.
Okay, so, I mean, I just... listen, it'll be... No, the critique here is me just shaking my head, because they'll be wildly successful with this. This is going to be... this is a good choice for them. It's just... it's where we are on this planet, that it's all about... it's all about the... let's get a camera on a critter given birth, and then watch millions of people that are not doing their job during the day tuning in to watch critter try to give birth.
Oh, yeah. There are people that will go to work today. They're supposed to work 7.5 hours or however long their daily shift is, and they will spend 6 of those hours watching a marmoset on camera give birth all over the nation. You know, they do a breakdown every March Madness and every Super Bowl and right, even Game of Thrones, the lost productivity. Let's do a count of how many people out there are watching animals in zoos give birth during their work day. It's amazing.
And you listen, if it brings revenue and attention to zoos and helps them, I mean, it's a good thing. It's just, it just gives me the, I'm not like, everybody wants to get angry about stuff. I'm not angry about it. I'm just kind of like, oh, here we go.
Are there any animals out there that you hear, hey, this kind of animal, I don't know, elephant.
If you've never seen them give birth.
Are there any that can make you tune in? Any animals out there? Like a panda?
No.
No? Nothing out there?
It's I've seen enough. I mean, cattle-wise, I've seen enough of it. Helped with the birth and the calves. It's enough. That's work. I'll go watch something else. All right, to the phones, and then I want to get to the pair of hard-hitting stories here that have actually a lot of people talking this morning. The strip club bust on Halls Mill, and then the city council meeting in Gulf Shores about the Hangout Fest. We'll get to just a teaser on the Hangout Fest story. This is part of that story from WKRG.
I don't like seeing these girls going up and down these streets wearing nothing but look like some dental floss in the behind.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's go to Freddie in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Yes, I was going to ask you a question. As we travel abroad from around the world, when did you start thinking we would see signs saying Yankee go home on the crown of what our president has done?
I don't. Where are you traveling to? Iran? Where are you going?
But I'm just saying, look like he's making an enemy with the American people to travel abroad anywhere. I don't think we get good relationship unless we go to England. Anywhere else, I don't think Americans should feel too comfortable being there.
Okay, let's say let's go down the list here of places. Number one, I believe what they like most are those dollars that are spent. But so the United Kingdom, England, yes, I think people will still have a good trip. France, it doesn't matter who's in office. The French are, there's some French people that are completely warm and receptive, and there's some that are like ice cubes. I'm sure you can say the same of the United States. Canada, don't you think you can go up to Banff? Go up to the provincial park in Banff. Beautiful. You go there. What about Brazil? Freddie?
The reason I asked that question, Sean.
No, answer my question, though. You're saying
people are saying that the president should not be in foreign land criticizing an opponent, an American opponent, and praising a foreign man. That's all I
But you have a narrative set up, and it's not factual. That's all I'm saying. I mean, yes, if you want to travel to Iran this summer, that's probably not good. That's probably not.
They love us in Israel.
But Israel, that would be good. Freddie, I mean, once again, you got a narrative, and it's not backed up in fact. I think the reason that they give a darn about American tourists one way or another is the dollars we bring. I mean, that's, you know, think about how many economies are tourist economies out there. And, you know, I tell you, the tourism story, though, it showed that maybe because of the tariffs, I don't know. They try to make it seem like it's the tariffs. I don't know if there's information out that makes that so, but the Chinese are traveling less to the United States. I think it's just that they've all seen everything that they need to see.
They've all been over here.
Yes, so I think that's what your issue is. I don't know that they, I mean, or maybe they're worried about some kind of, you know, the situation between the United States and China. I would think, okay, on the flip side, and you know I'm so jealous of you going to China. Mm-hmm. That's one of the trips I absolutely want to do. I want to travel everywhere I can on this planet, but China is a place I'd love to see. Right now, if I had a choice of like, hey, you could go Australia or China, I'd probably go to Australia right now and not China, just with, not that I think anything major is going to happen, but who knows what would happen, so we'd probably go to Australia.
You know, the word out of China, or at least from what I read yesterday, that it's the reason that their numbers came down from tourists coming from China to the United States, there was a bit of propaganda put out there by the Chinese government.
You don't say.
Discouraging people from traveling to the United States. I guess because of this trade war, they were saying, you know, it's really unsafe in the United States. First off, you can get shot when you go over there, and they...
Yeah, but here it's not by the government. Well, sometimes it is, but right. In China it's most, okay.
But, you know, I mean, we're talking about a communist country here who's in a trade war with the United States. Of course they're discouraging their people from coming to the United States.
I think they're going to start, if they really get serious about their propaganda campaign, they'll start coming up with things about Disney, Disney World and Disneyland.
Watch out for that mouse.
Right, very dangerous, known to carry the Hanta virus or something like this. All right, so the pair of stories from WKRG, I'm going to roll through one of them here. We'll go to the break and roll through the second one. I'd love to get some reaction. First of all, story about Gulf Shores City Council meeting yesterday and public response to the Hangout Fest that happened earlier this month. By the way, these meetings and this stuff seems to happen every year after the Hangout Fest. Let's go to the story here from, I think this is Brianna Hollis from WKRG and set up from Devin Walsh.
Applause, booze, and some back and forth all over the annual Hangout Fest in Gulf Shores. Thousands of people flock to the beach every May for the three-day music extravaganza. But those visitors, however, don't always leave a good impression on those who live in Gulf Shores. As News 5's Brianna Hollis explains, people for and against the Hangout made their opinions known at the city council meeting tonight.
Way out of control.
To deliver the best music festival in the world.
And throw up in our driveways.
Small town, big beach. It's the motto of Gulf Shores. For one weekend a year, though, it's more like big town, big beach, with thousands flocking to catch Hangout Fest's headliners. Unlike other music festivals of its nature, Hangout isn't in a remote location. So that means if you live here, you're in the thick of it.
I don't like seeing these girls going up and down these streets wearing nothing but look like something dinner floss in the behind.
Others brought up concerns about people sleeping in cars, people parking illegally everywhere, and illegal drugs.
We have never asked them to turn a blind eye to misbehaving people. We hate misbehaving people. It makes my job harder. This attitude of spreading lies and stories will not help us do the job. So I will absolutely stand here.
Between the boos, though, were some people fighting the naysayers.
I'm very proud to have this festival here.
Calling Hangout tame in comparison to similar events and even touting career opportunities for local kids.
They have been given opportunities to work with sound technicians, work with MTV behind the scenes, work in the photo pit.
While both sides spoke up, they didn't speak to each other as they walked out the doors.
All right. There it is. So it's a yearly thing, the hubbub between the folks that want Hangout Fest in Gulf Shores and those people that say it's a, you know, it's a big inconvenience or more. Mm-hmm. Remember Orange Beach telling the Widespread Panic fans not to come there? They didn't want the floppy people, which, by the way, Widespread Panic going to be in Pensacola at the end of August, beginning of September, two-night stand. All right, reaction to that, a whole lot more when we come back. 852 FM Talk 1065. Sean and Dalton, I'd love to hear from you at 343-0106. Hey, coming up on Midday Mobile today, hopefully, looks like, semi-confirmed, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1 is going to join us, Jerry Carl. We'll talk with him. Also, State Senator Chris Elliott, and a lot more coming up. I have a What about posting this picture up of my, you know, we have show notes. We do it different. Like you and I kind of both do show notes and prep. We work. People don't realize that, like the hours you go into before you go on the air with stories and all that. But in my list, I have headline in the morning show list. I have kind of headlines and slug lines. And one of mine was in defense of mountain lion hunting and strip clubs. Oh, so I'll address that soliloquy today during the midday show. So if you weren't angry at me before, maybe this will be it. I'm defending hunting mountain lions in California and freeing the pasties.
That sounds like it's
freeing something from the pasties.
The name of an album or something. It's good. Mountain lions and strip clubs.
That's right. It's third album. We went back to the studio with a great producer, and it's fantastic. All right. Speaking of that strip club story, the other one from WKRG has a lot of people talking. Is that bust of or the questions around Touch of Class, the strip club that, by the way, is right across Halls Mill from where the soccer complex will be?
Yeah.
And my personal question would be the 8 police officers that had to take 3 trips there to do the investigation. Here's a story from WKRG.
6 o'clock, the city of Mobile may strip a business of its license all because of the stripping going on inside. The city says women there are bearing way more than they should. News 5's Nicolette Schleisman is live at the venue on Halls Mill Road with the details.
Yeah, Pete. So Mobile Vice officials told the city council today that they have been investigating Touch of Class since February, and they say that the business is not operating as its license says it will and is a strip club.
I understand that, you know, this business is frowned upon.
A fight?
By everyone. But it is a legal business.
Over zoning.
There's nothing near me. Nothing. It's all industrial.
The owner of Touch of Class says his business is allowed to be where it is on Halls Mill Road.
We're not hurting anybody. My place is zoned. That, like I said, and the only residential zoning
in the area is a wooded area.
But the city says the business is licensed to be an entertainment venue, meaning they're allowed to host things like comedy shows and dance recitals.
This is irresponsible ownership.
An undercover investigation found that wasn't the case.
We wonder what was going on there, and we were told by his website that he had dancing going on there, which he wasn't licensed for.
Vice officers told City Council today undercover officers visited Touch of Class three different times over the past 4 months.
All three times they were discovered doing just completely illegal, not permitted, but completely illegal activities.
During that time, officers say they found women walking around topless and would ask the women there for dances. The women would get fully undressed, which is against the law in Mobile.
Whether you have an adult entertainment license or not, no one is allowed to dance completely nude anywhere.
But the business owner maintains he's done nothing wrong. He plans to fight this.
I guess I'm going to try to find another business that is accepted by everyone and fight this one in civil court.
And City Council has not yet decided if they will revoke the business's license. Reporting live on Halls Mill Road, Nicolette Schleisman, WKRG News 5.
Okay, so many moments in that whole news piece that calls reaction, knowing that you can't dance nude anywhere in the city.
Not even your own home.
Like if you're dancing, from the shower to the shower, something like that, that could be, it would have to be a secondary offense. They would have to be there monitoring something else, but if they saw that. And three trips for, y'all know, I got a lot of my buddies, a lot of my friends, law enforcement folks, love them. I'm looking for some feedback from y'all this morning. Eight officers, three different trips. What was the second and third trip were like this? I'm going here. Yep, still naked. Yep, they are still naked.
Still naked.
I guess we'll come back next week and see. Let's come back next week. All right. Yep, still naked. Still naked people there.
Yeah, I want to hear this full report. I'm calling on the Mobile City Council, actually, to go ahead and release this full, unredacted report.
Unredacted. We
need
the unredacted
this unredacted.
Report.
I want to hear about this investigation, how it got started, each subsequent step of the investigation, exactly how they nailed down Touch of Class here. But I'm just picturing like the risky business dance that Tom Cruise does.
Yes.
To see if they're doing that at Touch of Class at all.
Do you think maybe something to do with the fact the soccer complex would be?
No. Yeah. Surely they weren't trying to get rid of the Touch of Class strip club right next to where the soccer complex is going in.
Nah, that's cynical. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow morning at 6. Y'all have a great one. Mike Gallagher on the way next. See you at noon for Midday Mobile.